Always stay tuned with us in online streaming in voinews.id. Shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and our application in RRA Digital for those of you love watching on demand.
Karena makin banyak sang mentari membangunkanku dari tidur yang lelap ini. Sinarmu yang terang mulai memasuki mata dan mengusirku dari alam mimpi.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Rupat Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Rupat Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Rupat Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Rupat Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Rupat Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Rupat Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Rupat Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Rupat Island, you have to cross by boat known as Roro Ship or Roll-on Roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupees per car and 6,500 rupees per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Rupat Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
Voice of Indonesia.
At any word service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, Ramadan is coming, and of course not only in Indonesia, in so many countries, one of the main focuses of Ramadan, well, of course, the worship itself, the thing related to religion, but also the festivity related to the food. And sometimes in Indonesia, we will be buying new clothing so that we will look better during the Eid al-Fitr. But is it a very good behavior? Because in Ramadan, of course, we have to hold our desire. And therefore, we will be talking about Ramadan and consumption behavior with Irfan Shawki Bey, the Dean of Faculty of Economics and Management at IPB University. Hello, Pak Irfan.
Hello, Steve.
Okay.
Hi, Steve, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. Okay, Pak Irfan, I would like to know, from the eyes of economy, I would like to know what factors that encourage people to be more consumptive in the month of Ramadan. Is it really more consumptive than before, or apparently just the same?
Yeah, of course, if we talk about the data, usually the consumption will be increasing during the time of Ramadan. And I believe that the very fundamental factor affecting this situation is because of the reward that is given during the Ramadan, as has been promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which we are encouraged to share more, and Allah will reward you with a multiple times bigger than the usual month. So because in many hadiths, for example, the Prophet also give a very strong stimulus to the people that if you provide the food for breaking the fast to those who are fasting, so the ajr, the reward, will be given equally to those who provide those food. So I think given this situation, so many Muslims are encouraged to increase their food consumption. Similarly, if we look at the other factors which are related with the spirit of sharing, normally during the Ramadan, people become more generous and they are, motivated to share more. Either they pay zakat fitrah, zakatul fitr, or zakatul mal, from their wealth. And also, they pay infaq, sadaqah, and waqaf. And again, one of the, triggering factor is because of the reward, that is promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, that in the month of Ramadan, if you pay voluntary charity like infaq sadaqah, the reward will be equal to the obligatory charity, which is zakat. But if you pay zakat, then Allah will double, make triple, multiple times bigger in terms of reward. So these factors, I think, I believe, although it needs to be investigated, this needs to be investigated further, I believe this factor become the fundamental aspects that trigger the people to pay more, to consume more, etc. Although, on the other hand, sometimes there is also misunderstanding on the concept of on the concept of consumption, because sometimes people are extremely doing extravagant consumption, which is actually not allowed. It is discouraged by the Islamic teaching. So that's why we need to always make a campaign and socialization and education to people that consumption that you do in the month of Ramadan should be following the principle of moderation. It should be moderate in consumption. It should not be too extravagant. And if you have excess of food, if you have excess of wealth, and try to share with others. That is the spirit of Ramadan, actually. And you have to also think about your health condition. Don't let your consumption create, bad impact to your health. So these kind of things, I think we need to always, socialize and educate the people so that they got the essence of the Ramadan.
Okay, moderation and also sharing. So it's not only about taking what you can enjoy by yourself, but make sure to share with others, but not too extravagant. But many people believe that more consumption means more drive to our economy. Is it right, sir?
Of course, it is correct, because when the demand increases, of course, it will trigger the economy to grow up, and it will be responded from the supply side. Therefore, many industries actually they are expecting to get Ramadan, and even they are expecting every month is Ramadan because sometimes their income generated from Ramadan is much higher, even the highest, and it can be observed in many sectors that sometimes because of the Ramadan, the sale was reaching a very high rate, and then they will be enjoying the highest profit during this Ramadan. This is a kind of barakah, actually, barakah in the Ramadan. But of course, with regard to the situation, the presence of Ramadan should also be utilized, especially by the small and medium entrepreneurs, medium business. So SMEs, MSMEs business, they should also, take this opportunity, to sell more of their products that are relevant to the needs of the people, so that this barakah of Ramadan can also be enjoyed, by these businesses, because sometimes the one that really get the most benefit is usually the big business, the conglomerates, etc. So they will be, of course, enjoying the situation. But we are also hoping that the MSMEs can also take this benefit. And I think they need to, increase, their marketing, their sales, and their quality of products, and maintain the product relevance with the needs of the people during this Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, in many sectors, Ramadan give, or provide significant impact to the economy, including if we look at the third sector of the Islamic economy, which is Islamic social finance, comprising zakat and wakaf. The national collection of zakat and cash wakaf usually reach 60 to 7% during the Ramadan. Yeah, so the total collection, for example, last year, the total collection of zakat reached around 31 trillion rupiah, yeah, nationally. But, and 60% of it was collected during the Ramadan. So, and I think this is again showing that actually Ramadan can be the month that triggered the economy to grow up, and the data and many research has shown this phenomenon. Yeah, for example, my colleague, yeah, in IPB University last year, she was published research showing that the economic value of Ramadan can increase the GDP by more than 240 trillion rupiah. That's during the Ramadan, and it is increased by another more than 100 trillion during the Eid al-Fitr, yeah, during the Eid, because, you know, there was a mobilization of fund, yeah, from city to rural areas, yeah, from western part of Indonesia to eastern part of Indonesia, which shows that the fund mobilization will, should affect, yeah, the local economic situation. Yeah, this is the barakah from Ramadan.
Oh, I'm very interested in this research. I wish I can get the name of the researcher and the research itself, sir. Do you have it with you?
Her name is Dr. Aisha, yeah? Aisha Mafiruha Rahbini, the daughter of Professor Didik Rahbini. She was writing an article in one of the media about this study. I think it's very interesting to note this one.
Okay, at what year, sir?
Last year, 2024.
Yeah, of course, because if we are talking about something academic, the title, the writer, and the year, we need
all of them. Yes. Actually, it is popular writing. Yeah, popular writing. And we can refer to other studies as well, yeah, like my colleague from IDEAS, it is one of the institution under Dompet Duafa, one of the leading national zakat institution in Indonesia. They always publish also regular publication, especially on the impact, yeah, economic impact of Ramadan. Yeah.
Okay. And you also thought that even if you want to consume something, make sure to stay healthy. But let's not talk about the health of our body. Let's talk about the health of our wallet. So during Ramadan, as we know that, number one, we should be giving to charity, right? To charity. And then, of course, because of social pressure, quote unquote social pressure, there will be so many dinner or break the fast together so many times, and we cannot control the venue for that. Sometimes it can be a luxurious place, sometimes it can be modest, and also new clothing for it if you want to buy it. So what kind of tips for that you can give us how to manage the money for this 1 month? Maybe you can give us in percentage to help us.
Actually, before coming to the percentage, because the Prophet said also, for example, the Eid, Eid al-Fitr is a happy moment. Nobody should be sad, during that moment. And one of the indicators of the happiness, during the Eid, is by having new clothes, which is actually, it is allowable, But again, the very basic principle of consumption in Islamic perspective is actually we need to be very modest. And what should be the principles of spending? Yeah, when we have income, so actually I have a formula. Actually my wife and I have constructed a formula which we call as CDIC. CDIC is the acronym for the method of spending according to Islamic perspective. The first C is charity. Charity comprises obligatory or mandatory and voluntary charity. Obligatory is zakat, and then voluntary is infaq sadaqah waqaf. And then the second one is D. D refers to debt. Yeah, it means that you have to pay your debt first. Yeah. So after you fulfill your obligatory charity and voluntary charity, try to pay your debt. And then the third one is investment. Yeah, I, CDI. I is refers to investment. Yeah, it means that you have to make your money, your income, becoming more productive to anticipate the current needs, the future needs, yeah, and your future plan. And the last one is consumption. So the second C refers to consumption, meaning that consumption should be done after you complete the first CDI. Yeah. So with regard to this consumption, so it's better for you to maintain, yeah, the principle of moderation. And the second one, to avoid, yeah, the two things that are prohibited in our religion. The first one is israf, the second one is tanzir. Yeah, meaning that the excessive consumption. Yeah, because those two things refer to the excessiveness, which is, you know, something that should be avoided. And coming back to managing the money, yeah, so actually for the first C, yeah, it can be at least 2.5%, yeah, and then another for voluntary, you can pay another 2.5%. And then for your debt, of course, I'm suggesting if you need to have debt, yeah, make sure it doesn't exceed 20% of your income to maintain your ability to repay back your debt, because heaven or Jannah are very sensitive to those who have debt. Even the shuhada, those who are martyr, they cannot enter the paradise if they still have debt. Yeah, so, and then the investment, yeah, at least 20 to 30%. Yeah, so the remaining part, it can be used for your consumption. And for your consumption, make sure that the first principle of consumption is try to always relate to your needs, not your wants. There's two different things, needs and wants. Yeah, wants, you want to have anything, but needs, actually, what do you actually need? Yeah, let's say if your rice consumption, for example, only one plate, yeah, during the usual time in other months, why do you have to add until three plates of rice, for example, during the Ramadan? Yeah, what is the essence of that? Why you increase sharply while this will give you bad impact? So maintaining the needs is very important. And with regard to this, you know, sometimes, yeah, the extravagant things, yeah, the luxurious restaurant, for example, for breaking the fast. Actually, Rasulullah ﷺ has given us an example on how we break our fast. Yeah, so as long as you are not, yeah, excessively consuming the foods, as if you haven't taken any food for 3-4 days, yeah, yeah. So just avoid, yeah, this kind of behavior, because it will give you a bad impact. And try also to be, you know, try to be wise and in selecting restaurant, etc. Although it is your choice, yeah, it is your choice. Sometimes, you know, the choice of one restaurant for one person will be different from the other person. And we cannot simply make generalization that if this is not allowed for one person, so it also not allowed for the others. Yeah, we cannot make that kind of generalization. But at least it is us who know the limit, yeah, of our consumption. It is us who know the needs that we really require to maintain our life. And the rest of it, try to increase, yeah, during the Ramadan, the proportion of sharing, because Allah has guaranteed, yeah, that the one that we share, inshallah, will not reduce our wealth. and even it will increase our wealth. So this requires a strong belief. Yeah, a strong belief on this concept. Yeah. So I think if we follow the CDIC, we can see a different behavior. Yeah. So we are taught to always think first sharing and then paying your debt and then try to invest even during the Ramadan. And the last one is consumption. Yeah.
Okay. So apparently for our Muslim friends to be financially healthy during Ramadan, what they need to do is just go back to check again what the religion has been teaching so many times.
Yes.
People just need to remember it, right?
Yeah, of course, we need to remember those things. And, one of the essence of the fasting is to control ourselves. Yeah, so we need to increase the capacity, the ability to control ourselves, because one of the most difficult thing in this life is controlling ourselves. So try to get that lesson. Yeah, although on the one hand, of course, we an increase in the consumption is not, it cannot be avoided. Yeah, so it will happen, but try to do it in a correct way. Yeah, for example, increasing consumption, not only to be consumed by ourselves, but increasing consumption because we want to share with others. Yeah. So if you do it in this way, then it will give you value, and it will, it will put you, on the highest level of, you can say, the mankind's quality, the man's quality, which is minal muttaqin, among the pious people. Yeah.
All right. So from our conversation, I get two keywords: moderation and also sharing. And I wish that everything that we've shared in this conversation will be useful for not only Indonesians but everybody who is fasting or maybe want to try the CDIC, even if they're not Muslims, they can still do it, right?
Charity. Even you are not Muslim, you can apply this. Yeah, sharing become our top priority.
Yeah,
because sharing will give a positive impact also to the economy. You can imagine one of the problem that we are facing now is inequality of income and wealth. And this inequality can only be reduced significantly when everybody is having, a spirit of sharing. Yeah, that's why it is encouraged. I believe all religions will be having the same teaching. Now the problem is sometimes the followers, the believers of the religion, they don't follow the religion. That's a problem.
That is everybody's problem in following faith. But I wish that from this very second, let's strengthen our faith, whatever your faith, to give more to the people. Imagine not only in Ramadan. In Ramadan, we have a spike in the number of charity. Imagine we do it every month, and imagine also how big the benefit will be brought to all the people. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, listener, that is our talk about Ramadan and consumption behavior. I would like to thank you, Pak Irfan, for this very interesting talk. Thank you very much for joining us, Pak Irfan.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay, listener, that is our short talk with the Dean of Faculty of Economics and Management at IPB University, Bapak Irfan Syawki Baik. If you want to listen to this dialogue again, you can check our YouTube channel, VOA Official, and our application, RRI Digital.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, that was an interview with Steve about the daily life of Ramadan, of course. So, well, listener, still here with me, Ray, and of course, stay tuned with us for more information and entertainment only on Voice of Indonesia. And why don't we start off and continue this broadcast with a song from Frozen with Let It Go.
Snow glows in heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. Cold never bothered me anyway.
Wait a minute, fill my cup, put some nigga in it. Say break it down. Girl, send you hallelujah. Girl, send you hallelujah. Girl, send you hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
Boy listener, we are continuing today's broadcast, of course, with a song. Right now, we're moving back to Indonesia with a song from Smash. Senyum semangat, because we still have three and maybe 3.5+ minutes, hours, that we're going to have until the break of the fast. So stay tuned with us, boy listener, and always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Karena jadinya malu, karena Indonesia no gue cuci dengan senyuman prestasi. Tak pernah ku malu karena cibiranmu menjadikan motivasi untuk maju. No more mellow, say no to shallow. No more fear, say no to fear. Let's get together all day long. Let's get together all night long. Let's get together all day long. Let's get together all night long.
Maju tak akan pernah luntur lagi.
Thank you so much for a listener for accompanying me in this 1 hour broadcast, but don't go anywhere because after this there will be a lot more program and information that will accompany you in the next hours of Indonesia Today in Voice of Indonesia. And don't forget that you can send your critic suggestion and also information through our social media and Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok in VOI double underscore official. We also have our email address in VOI at voinews.id and WhatsApp number and +62 821-238-12130. And please stay tuned with us always on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINN.
Music, dance, art performances from Indonesia and abroad, only on The Session. Every Saturday, 9:15 Jakarta time, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Berjuta cinta. bercinta melahirkan jiwa ke dunia. Sang penyair menorehkan garis awal kehidupan yang berjalan terencana dalam pesan yang bermakna mengatakan intan ke dalam semesta yang di dunia. Waktu takkan pernah mengulang dan rahasia kan menyapa tanpa salah di hari yang ditentukan dilahirkan, ditemukan dan dipisahkan. Gugur satu tumbuhlah berjuta cinta.
Once upon a time, the angels took rest here. In the legend of Tutumeden, nine angels descended from the heaven to a pond. They took a bath in a pond belonging to Mamanua, a young farmer. Mamanua fell in love. One of the angels, Lumaludu, became his wife. From the fated two worlds, a child was born. But one day, Mamanua make a mistake that forced Lumalundung to return to heaven. The angel said, should the child want to meet her, Mamanua must bring the child across the forest, river, and mountain with the sun guiding their path. Lumalundung will be waiting at the end of the journey. Then Mamanua and his child took the journey until the small family was reunited in the castle of the angels. The legend of Tutumeden ended happily ever after. And that was the story of the most beautiful place that the angels picked, Likupang.
Selasih jauh
1 hour away from Manado, its coastal city left a strong impression on first-timers. The people are slow living here. Nobody is in a rush. Everybody follows their own beat. And of course, the majestic landscape. Find the warm and embracing sunrise at Larata Hill, where the light reveals the beauty of North Minahasa.
At RA Digital with New Look, various collaborative content from various national partners.
Here's the news. The Minister of Trade is involving 33 global trade representatives to boost exports of micro, small and medium enterprises. This initiative aims to expand market access and enhance the competitiveness of Indonesian products abroad. The government hopes this strategy will strengthen the country's export performance and support local businesses. The next news. The National Research and Innovation Agency is organizing IRIF Fair to support the development of young research talents in Indonesia. This event provides a platform for young researchers to showcase their innovations and collaborate with experts. BRIN aims to strengthen Indonesia's research ecosystem by nurturing future scientists and innovators. And that was the news.
Buka dulu topengmu, buka dulu topengmu, biar kulihat wajahmu.
Sansang Beach, located in East Siantan District, Anambas Islands, Riau Islands Province, seems to be hidden because it is flanked by small islands that are quite hilly. The Selat Sansang Beach is on 244 hectares island. The beach is not so wide, but its position is really surrounded by clear water that has gradation colors between green and bluish. Almost every corner of the Selat Sansang Beach can certainly be snorkeling and diving spots, which offer undersea amazing panoramas. Coral reef and marine biota at the beach have various kinds of species, and also the ecosystem is relatively well maintained. At Selat Sansang Beach, you can do diving, snorkeling, and fishing. At the beach, all places can become fishing areas. But if you want more something challenging, you can directly do fishing in the middle of the sea. To go there, you should go by boat and have enough fishing.